You're listening to the Cinemaniacs for October 20th,
2008. The
20th? The 20th.
Holy crap. Woo-hoo.
That's today.
Wow.
It's Monday.
Monday night?
Monday night.
It's Monday night.
We just got through watching the New England Patriots wallop the Denver Broncos.
Oh my God.
Not that we're happy about that, but we're very saddened.
That's all right.
But the Patriots did get their comeuppance last week when they played the Chargers.
Don't you know football's rigged? It's all fixed.
That's right.
That will be edited out. There's a stone cold bitch in the cheap seats. Lerp. Cheap seats, cracking my knees, cracking my knees. Okay, you grin fox, you bunch of fucking monkeys. Pretty pictures say what? Thanks for listening to the Cinemaniacs. My name is Walt. To my left is Jeff.
Yo.
And to my right is my beautiful wife, Lisa.
Hey, y'all.
This week on the Cinemaniacs, we're going to be talking about two great new DVD releases. Well, great is the word to describe because they're big and popular and should be seen. We'll find out if they're good to watch later on. That is Mongol, last year's nominee for Best Foreign Language Picture,
mm-hmm.
and The Happening, M. Night Shyamalan's nominee for Razzie Award this summer.
Really?
Probably so.
Who knows?
But first off, let's get some news.
We take you now to Kermit the Frog with another fast-breaking news story.
Now, we talk about our podcast being the movie podcast that talks about movie news, reviews, and whatever else we choose.
That's right.
And we like to talk about Netflix because we're all diehard Netflix fans. We have been for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And we also advocate Blu-ray. I mean, now it's not even option anymore. You had HD, DVD, and Blu-ray. Cinemaniacs made the choice, and suddenly thereafter, the format war was over.
We set the trend. We tipped the scale.
That's right.
I think we were the straw that broke the HD camel back, I think.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man.
That being said, with all this information I just mentioned, build up, if you will, Netflix. No, I did the build up already. I didn't do a drum. That was almost like planned, but like the wrong way. What I was getting to is that Netflix is going to increase the price of their subscriptions for their Blu-ray subscribers by $1. And to that I say, big whoop. Okay, Netflix has 8.7 million subscribers, give or take. And 500,000 of them subscribe to Blu-ray. So it's an extra $500,000 a month in our pocket. But I don't care. It's worth it. Blu-ray is just amazing. And you got a grumpy look on your face.
I can't believe we built up to say we're going to get charged more.
I didn't know. You guys did the drum roll. I didn't do the drum roll.
What the hell? Hey, guess what? They're going to charge you more. What the hell?
Hey, that's kind of like when you get a tax.
I didn't call for the drum roll.
Those tax relief packages.
Oh, Lord.
No, seriously, they carry over 800 Blu-ray movies, okay, which is great. It's the widest selection that I know of.
Oh, yeah.
And
no, I don't,
less than 20, well, I about 20% of those subscribers use that, which is actually pretty good, 20%.
Yeah.
No, that's great. Okay. Well,
one day the tide's going to turn on that, and the DVDs are going to be so hard to come by that they're going to actually charge you more for DVD rentals than you will for Blu-ray.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, Blu-ray movies normally cost more than DVDs. I see prices, the list price for $26 for a Blu-ray, $19 for a DVD. So it's a few dollars more, but you get a lot more.
Sure.
I mean, the quality and the sound. Never underestimate the sound. Now, so after November 5th, whenever your renewal for Netflix comes, if you're subscribed to Blu-ray movies, then you get charged an extra dollar. If you don't want to pay that extra dollar, which, I mean, think about it, you can waste a dollar just blinking.
Sure.
And
I just did just now.
There you go. But after November 5th, then they'll start charging on your renewal. Now, conversely to that, you know, Netflix has this Watch Instantly thing where you can go to their website and watch a lot of movies, and anymore, it's getting to be quite a few of them mm-hmm. that you can watch yeah. right there on their website. They even have that Roku box, which is you can watch those Watch Instantly movies with a little box hooked up to your TV set. And November 19th is when the Xbox 360 gets Watched Instantly compatibility, mm-hmm. so you can use your Xbox 360 to watch these Netflix movies. And I was looking today, Wind That Shakes the Barley, and gosh, my mind escapes me right now. There's quite a few movies up there. And I don't mean to sound like an advertisement for Netflix, but I'm just saying they're doing a good job.
I agree.
So you're getting more, even whether you're paying the dollar or not. The bad thing is that up until now, Netflix has only worked with PCs or Roku Box or the 360, which is Microsoft. That is Windows.
Right.
And they promise by the end of the year they'll have it available for Apple Macintosh computers.
Oh, cool.
So that's great.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. You know, and they aren't even paying us for this.
That's true.
Yeah, wow.
That was like a whole, 7 minutes?
Yeah, man.
We
should get paid for that, man.
Cha-ching.
Anyhow.
Get a discount anyway.
Yeah.
But this is news that our listeners want to hear.
Sure. I mean,
they may not know about it.
I know.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with the dollar because I spend a dollar a day on Big Gulps. So, plus.
Last week we talked about some sequels coming out. Well, Toy Story 3 is coming out.
Yeah. We talked about that before.
Did we?
Yeah.
2020?
Yeah.
Nope,
a way earlier podcast. Yeah. Oh.
June 18th. Oh, yeah, well, they got a date. June 18th, 2010.
Nice.
And
I'm glad my kids are
Pixar is actually pushing them out pretty good now without any degradation of quality. I mean, WALL-E, everybody loved.
WALL-E was really good.
Yeah.
And next year they have Up coming out May 29th, which is Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
So there's Pixar's next couple of movies.
No end to the Pixar goodness.
Woo-hoo.
Goodness. Greatness.
Greatness, yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yep.
Gotta love it. Our first movie up this week is The Happening.
Yes, it is.
M. Night Shyamalan's
R-rated foray. His first R-rated movie.
All right. All the other ones have been PG-13.
Exactly.
Or PG. What was it? Happy Times was his first movie? What was his first movie called? Happy Day?
Yeah, something like that.
Anyways, that was...
Is that the one with Rosie O'Donnell?
I don't think so.
It's a birthday or something like that?
Well, The Happening stars Mark Wahlberg, and it also has in there Zooey Deschanel, and John Leguizamo.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a bleak movie. We have the movie starts off with people killing themselves.
Yeah.
Suicides.
Yeah.
And it can be pretty graphic.
Pretty grim, yeah.
And definitely grim. And it comes to where people are trying to figure out what's going on?
Yeah, at first they're thinking it's terrorist attacks.
Yeah, I love that.
Some kind of, you know, whatever, some kind of enzyme is being released that's basically causing people their survival instinct just gets tripped into reverse, and instead of survival mode, they go into self-destruction mode.
Yeah, they think that terrorists have chemically imbalanced us or something.
So the title, The Happening, comes because everybody's like, what's happening?
Yeah.
What's happening?
That's right.
This thing that's happening.
Yeah. But actually, this movie was pretty dark.
Yep.
But it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. Not fun, but enjoyable. Mark Wahlberg, he played Mark Wahlberg.
He was Mark Wahlberg in another situation. And that's fine.
Yeah. I did not care for Zooey Deschanel in there. Or Zoe, whatever.
Zooey Deschanel.
I think she played her part well.
She was fine.
Yeah. She's oddly cute. She's got the biggest, bluest eyes. God.
We were watching this on your ridiculously huge television, and her eyes were freaking me out.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. They were just like...
They were so clear, and it was on Blu-ray.
Yes.
Blue eyes on Blu-ray.
They were huge.
And, you know, one of the movies that I don't like a lot is Fantastic Four, the sequel.
Yeah.
Because they put blue contacts on Sue.
Yeah.
And it's
Jessica Alba, and oh God, it's unsettling.
It's insane. Well, this chick's eyes are naturally almost that blue. It's
they're
insane.
Really, really blue. Yeah.
But I think she did okay.
She
was
a great job.
Supposed to play that kind of role, and
yeah, somebody who's kind of detached and not.
Yeah, kind of weak. Yeah.
Hmm.
Socially weak.
I didn't care for the movie a whole lot. but she was great in it was Elf. I liked her in that a lot. And I liked her a lot in the Matthew McConaughey movie with Terry Bradshaw.
Oh.
Failure to Launch.
Failure to Launch. Hmm. I liked her in that a lot.
Wasn't she in the Traveling Pants?
She may have been, but I didn't see that.
I think she was.
I don't know if she was or not. I don't think so.
Oh, maybe not. Okay.
But this one, this is... I didn't care for her as much in this one.
Hmm.
It wasn't necessarily so much the characters. It was just the situation. The situation was very surreal and very bizarre.
Yeah.
You know? It was... And the thing is, you can't. It's hard to talk about it without giving anything away. You know, I think we've set it up, and then it's really you got to kind of, obviously they got to try and figure out what's going on, and where it's happening, and where can they get to where it's safe, and that's really where it carries them. The more places they try to find where it's safe, the more they figure out kind of what's going on.
Now I had heard what the deal was. What's the
premise?
Yeah, I mean, like what.
So you heard it. You heard what it was before you saw the movie,
right?
Mm. I hadn't,
and
yeah, me neither.
Which is good, and going into it, knowing that or hearing about it, it was still okay. I still enjoyed it. Okay, not that I want to give it away to somebody.
No, we don't, and we don't want to say it's and, you know, it's an interesting theory.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't mind blowing like some of his other movies. You know, it was definitely an interesting take on it.
Yeah, it was a little weak. I mean, as far as the story development, like...
very slow moving.
Well, yeah. It lacked just a little bit. You know who had a really great performance in it? Was Betty Buckley.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
She was insane.
It, you know, when you're watching the movie, it's okay and it's interesting. It keeps you interested, maybe not riveted.
Right.
But it keeps you interested. There are a couple of very intense scenes.
She
like the porch scene or whatever. But towards the end, the stuff with her, that was wild. I mean, that's one of the wildest 10 minutes in the whole movie.
Yeah.
So
I got a chill just now thinking about it because she was great.
Yep. You know, so.
Now, that being said, she had some, and there were some very scary parts in this movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So this was good Shyamalan stuff where it does make you jump
mm-hmm.
and kind of scary stuff.
Yeah, you know, you always say Shyamalan hit or miss, you know, a lot of people say that.
Yeah.
Definitely not a miss, you know.
No,
I wouldn't call it like a huge hit either, but.
Yeah,
you know, definitely an interesting story, and I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
It ranks up there with the rest of the Shyamalan movies. You know, I mean, no Sixth Sense or Unbreakable, but definitely.
Well, no Sixth Sense anyway,
huh?
Well, it's no Sixth Sense anyway,
but definitely up there with Signs and Lady in the Water, The Village.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I put it up there with The Village.
Yeah,
yeah.
I wouldn't put it higher than Signs.
No.
But it was pretty good. It was good enough.
4 stars. I had a good time.
Yeah.
I'd say I really liked it.
I'd give it a 3.
John Leguizamo, he was good.
Yep.
He had a little intellectual guy with his little glasses. So.
Yeah, I liked his character.
Yeah, me too.
And you mentioned Betty Buckley, who was the mom on Eight Is Enough, Abby.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Wait for her, man. When she gets in there, it gets interesting.
Yeah, it was great.
Yep.
She was great.
Next up, we have a movie that we've all been waiting for so long since we first heard about it when the Oscar nominations came out last year, Best Foreign Language Film nominee. We have already reviewed in an earlier podcast The Counterfeiters, who actually won.
Which won, right.
And beat this movie, Mongol. And Mongol even came to the theaters here in the States
for a minute.
Over the summer.
About 30 seconds, man.
We did not get a chance to see it, obviously,
here
in Las Vegas.
For like a week at the one theater. One theater.
But now is out in Blu-ray goodness.
Mm, and it is goodness.
Wow. Directed by Sergei Bodrov, who has not directed anything big here in the States. Definitely done some foreign films. He is a Russian director, and this movie was a Kazakhstan movie.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, Kazakhstan.
But, yes.
And it was, again, with people that you don't know, I shouldn't say you don't know, but we didn't know. They're not big-time actors and actresses.
Well, at least not here in the States.
But basically, this is the telling of the story of Genghis Khan.
The rise and of his Genghis rise to Khan. Yeah, his rise to power.
So this could be have a sequel.
I read it's supposedly the first part of a trilogy.
Right.
That'd be great.
Oh, this movie, like I said, we've waited since Oscar season. That was, what, January?
Yeah.
Okay, we waited since January to see this.
I think before that.
Yeah. Well, that was where I first heard of it. Literally, I watched the little clip when they were, and I was like, ooh, that looks really cool. Mm-hmm. And then I would see a couple other things, and I saw the trailer, and I'm like, I cannot wait for this movie.
Yeah.
And it was worth the wait. I'd have waited another year just because it was so great.
You know, they don't put out too many epic, or the film industry, I want to say, maybe it's the American film industry, don't put out too many epic movies anymore. And when they do, it's maybe not done as well. But this is one of those, it reminded me of an old school epic, almost like, I don't want to say Lawrence of Arabia, but you got to see very big pan and scans.
You know what it made me think of? Spartacus.
Yeah.
Reminded me of Spartacus.
Yeah.
Panoramic views.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I need that. But
oh, man. And that one of the first things I noticed, we were 20 minutes in, and I was just like, this movie was shot so beautifully.
Yeah.
Every scene, I'm just like, wow, that's pretty. Wow, look at that. That's beautiful. Oh, my God. That's even more, it seemed like every scene was more beautifully shot than the next.
I love the realism of taking you into the customs as far as, like, hooking you up with a bride when you're 9.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it's done in different cultures.
Sure.
And taking you back to a time when they show the line of class, like when, okay, you're a member and you're parents are all of the upper class, and then when something happens to one of those upper class members, and all of a sudden you're brought back down on the bottom of the food chain.
Right.
I love that, them showing the realism of that kind of thing.
Well, exactly, yeah. It was
process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, his Genghis Khan starts off, his real name is, what was it?
Temujin. Played by Tadanobu Asano, who was in Last Life in the Universe and Taboo. Okay. A couple of smaller movies, but Last Life in the Universe, I think, has got a few people have seen that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's the son of the Khan and everything like that. Well, the Khan ends up dying.
The Khan is like the leader of the tribe.
The leader of the tribe. And yeah, the leader of the Mongols. Or at least that tribe of Mongols. Well, the Khan dies. Next thing you know, I mean, everybody's just dismantling his house, stealing his stuff, and
yeah, they take his whole. It's like the whole village just uproots and leaves his wife and kid behind.
Yeah,
that's what it seemed like.
And so he makes an enemy in the guy who is now going to lead the tribe that leaves Temujin, the young Temujin, alone with his mom and brother.
Yeah, and sister.
And sister. And so Temujin has to make sure they don't kill kids. That's like Mongol code.
Yeah, he's ready to kill him, so he doesn't have to worry about him coming back to kill him to be Khan, but they don't kill kids, so they're like, well, and then we'll wait.
We'll come back next year.
We'll come back in a winter. He'll be big enough to kill. Oh, but he's still God, not. How crazy is that?
He's still not big enough.
Yeah, it's so bad that they say, feed him some more so he'll grow.
He spends the next however many years on the run. Perpetually on the run for his life from these people.
From this guy.
Yeah.
Targetai?
Yeah.
Was his name?
Yep.
And so, I mean, it's really interesting because he's building up his strength and stamina along the way that is...
And his reputation.
And his reputation.
He's building a reputation.
And everybody knows that he was rightfully... He was the son of the Khan who died, so it was his right to be the leader of the tribe, even though he was young. I mean... We know throughout history we've had young leaders that hopefully rise to be something great, but you have to give them that opportunity if that's the way that your country or land runs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here in America, democracy, you have to be 35 to be the, quote, leader of the country, but you become elected. In other places, you're the son or daughter of a, quote, king, and then you become so when your king dies.
Yeah, whether you're right for it or not. Yeah, birthright.
This was just great. I mean, it was just told this story, and like Lisa mentioned, the epic story that just moved and flowed, and you're just right into it. Is no rush. Now, it's told, I believe, in the Mongolian language, but subtitled.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't notice it because there's not a lot of talking, not an incredible amount. No, enough to have conversations.
No, they talk, but the dialogue is fairly simple but pretty straightforward. You know, it's nothing very terribly flowery.
Right.
Which but is great, the story you know. Just keeps going and going.
Yeah. Realistic battle scenes. The battle scenes were really well.
They were really well. And you know, it you could tell at some points in the battle scenes, to be sure.
The
that
blood
was,
came. Yeah, the blood. CG, was, the CG blood. There were a few times it came
splattering
across
on the cameras and stuff.
A little fake, but
if you
don't
if you,
mind.
You know, so as, they're not battle scenes like Braveheart or even Saving Private Ryan, realistic like that, but still enough that you can get the feel for it.
Exactly.
You know, and what really happened back in the day.
Yeah, kudos to the director because it's, you know, he's trying to tell this tale, this legend, and he told it in a really well perspective. It was very well done.
Prior to this movie, I always felt that Genghis Khan was this, you know, dictator, ruler, destroyer of worlds, and now I'm a little more sympathetic to him. You see him as a young boy growing up and stuff. And we're not giving anything away because it is kind of history, but you can still sit back and enjoy the movie. Right away, you're seeing this movie's told from like his point of view and his life, and it was 100% truly fantastic.
Yeah, it was engrossing. You're never out of it for a second. You just enjoy the hell out of it, and you just don't want it to end.
And when I say epic, this is not a really long movie. It's barely 2 hours long.
Right. No, not epic in length. Epic in scope.
Yeah,
and
the
style
way that it's told.
And the way it's like. Once again, I'm going to say the way it's shot.
Exactly.
I mean, some of those set pieces and some just those scenes. I mean. Where they found these places, and I mean, was it filmed in Kazakhstan? Because they just found some of the most beautiful and interesting places I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I mean, like the first battle, with the Merkits, that rocky area. I mean, come on, have you ever seen a place like that on the Earth? I've never seen a place like that. It was beautiful.
I don't know, my backyard for a while there was pretty rocky.
Yes, they did film some of it in Kazakhstan, some in Mongolia, and some in China.
There you go. Mm. But I mean, just places on Earth that. You know, that obviously exist on Earth and we've just never seen. And they're just, you know, some really beautiful, beautiful scenery.
Yeah, it looked really old. It had a really old, ancient flavor to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even the set pieces where there were, you know, inhabitants and people, you know, you just got to feel like, wow, that could be what it was like, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
They also may mention that, or some of the locations that they filmed that were so remote that the crew actually had to build roads to get to them.
Yeah, like that rock place.
I believe that because, like I said, it just seemed like places on Earth I've never, you know, that probably nobody's seen or very few people have seen.
Yeah, it gave you that desolate feeling.
Yeah, it was great.
This
enthusiastic five stars, and I think the Academy owes them an apology because the Counterfeiters was really good. I think I gave it five stars as well. I love that movie, but this movie just floored me.
Yeah, I give it a 5.
Love this movie.
I give this 5 stars.
Who's what was the quote? What was the quote from the other podcast?
Oh, the DVD Digigods.
Yes,
they said that they announced that Mongol was coming out this week on DVD and Blu-ray, in particular Blu-ray. And they said if you own a Blu-ray player and you don't get Mongol, then I don't like you.
I agree 100% with that. It's an owner. It's a movie. It's a movie, if you love movies enough to own a Blu-ray player and the whole surround sound and a big screen because you love film that much, you should absolutely own this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't rent it. Buy it. Can't wait for the sequels. I pray what I heard is right because I would love to see 2 more movies about this character with that cast and with that director. I would love it.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Yeah, I'm ready.
He even mentions the battle scene required 1,500 horses and riders.
There you go.
They had to be imported from Kazakhstan to China.
Mm-hmm.
And those have to be certain horses, too, because in that part of the world, they don't just use tall horses like we do here or, you know, Arabian horses. Those are Mongolian ponies.
Right.
They only stand like so many hands high. So that's a lot of thought went into that.
Yeah. I'll tell you one cute thing I did read about, I read about this movie. It was in an article on MSN about the some of the more glaring untruths in biopics.
Mm-hmm.
And the one they mentioned in here is while the dedication between Timogen and his wife, the wife he chose at 9 years old,
Borte,
was very, very sweet. It was really not very realistic because 8% all 8% of all Mongols are related to Genghis Khan.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
So he wasn't exactly faithful, but no. I found that very amusing.
I'm sure we'll find that out like
later on
in the next chapter.
Like I said, I really hope these other two chapters, you know, come about. I hope they are realized.
Yeah.
Because
I think somewhere, because he seems like the way that they're depicting his characters, like he seems to be somebody of reason, you know, that's not quite as pissed off yet. But as the story's always been told to us and in history has been like, oh, he's this terrible tyrant that like chopped people's heads off and stuff like that. And so probably in the next.
Could be.
You know, he's going to be this. Something must have happened where he's pillaging.
Exactly. There could be something that turns him to the dark side. Yeah. we get our Revenge of the Sith out of one of these chapters.
The women.
Yeah, the children. But this, once again, not nearly enough praise can be heaped upon this movie. I loved it so much.
Yeah, it was nice to see this epic adventure bio. It was great.
This is the 20th. That means the 24th is coming up. We have a lot of movies coming out this week.
Hell yeah.
Saw comes out this week. Pride and Glory comes out this week.
High School Musical. Well, family movie.
You're right. Yeah, that's right. Family movie. We got called on about not reviewing enough family movies here.
Yeah.
I'll leave that to the family people.
Enjoy. So what'd you say about Saw? Back in February, Jeff, that 20 stars?
20 stars, movies. That's right. Four movies, 5 stars each, 20 stars. So we'll see if we'll see if they can keep the streak going. Because, I had a ball with watching all those movies. And I eagerly look forward to the new one.
That's great. That'll be next week's show. Thank you for listening to The Cinemaniacs. You can email us at podcast@thecinemaniacs.com. Visit our website, thecinemaniacs.com.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for listening. Have a good night.
Later.
See ya. You know what? I just love saying M. Night Shyamalan because I like to go Shyamalama Ding Dong.
That's right.
I do. The kids.
I'm laughing M. because Night I got Shyamalama something to put at the end of the show.
Yep. Like crickets. That's just what we need.
It's been pretty quiet out there. But no, there is a podcast that I listen to, Cinema Playground, and they talk. Or they've had a couple podcasts where they're outside, like on the back porch, and these cords are 30 feet long.
Back porch, man. Back porch podcast.
Sweet.
Yeah, do that while we can while the weather's nice.
That'd be a great idea.
Because then that chattering when we get the bad sound, that arr, then it'd be like.
You hear the neighbor dogs barking and shit.
Shut up!
Shit. Yeah. The Sky Cop.
Yeah. Sky Cop. That's great. Let's pull this up here. And then the director, Sergei Bodrov, he also directed a movie called Nomad that previously, I haven't seen the movie, but I saw the box in the Blockbuster. Uh-huh. I was looking at it, and it reminded me of one movie that...
Is that like 5 years old?
Nomad? 2005. What movie does this remind you of, looking at the box there? And this may not be the picture that does 300.
Yeah.
Is what it is. That's
yeah.
So, again, I haven't watched the movie. I don't know, but here's the box right here.
We should see that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just, we should, but it's kind of, they repackaged this box to make it look like 300, so people will watch it. But it's like, but based on this one, maybe it is pretty good.
We'll find out.
No Man the Warrior.
Well, Mongo the movie rocks.
It's like talking smack.
You just like talking. I'm kidding.
I like talking, but I like talking smack more.
I'm about to close 19 tabs.
No wonder stuff's not working right.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Why do my computer running so slow?
He's going to be sitting there for 20 minutes.
Uh-oh. Got to spin in beach ball.
Oh, Christ. You ain't going nowhere for a while now.
I can cheat.
You told your daughter there are no shortcuts in life.
That's right.
And she remembered that. She was preaching to the boys the other day. So if you cheat, she's going to know.
She's not here.
What do you mean she was telling the boys that?
We were talking about taking a shortcut, something like that. Oh, or was it Daniel that said it? No, I think it was Rachel. We were like walking to the park or walking to the bus stop or something like that. And I say, oh, we could take a shortcut. Let's go this way. She says, Daddy says there's no shortcuts in life. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it was cool because she knows, or they know, that like the wind's been kicked out of you.
Out of me?
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, well, your daughter's asleep, so cheat your ass off. Let's get the show on the road. That's right.
That's all good.
I know.